When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
We don't play it much, but when you hear this song, it means we're going to the streets of Philadelphia to talk to our friend, Mr. Dave Zangaro. Davey Z covers the Eagles, has done it for a long time, is very good at what he does, and joins us now. What up, dude? How are you?
What's going on, man? One day I think you're just let the song play the whole way through, and I'll just forget that I'm supposed to be doing this.
Well, I've actually had a talking to from our boss, the Cluster Buster, that I let the music play too much, but I just enjoy it, so I'm just kind of jamming out. Sue me.
There was a minute where I was like, I forgot what I was doing. I was like, all right, yeah, I love this song.
Well, dude, the Eagles haven't forgot what they're doing. They've won 10 in a row. The win over Pittsburgh, maybe they're most impressive of the season, but that discounts that they just beat Baltimore a couple weeks ago. What's going right in Philly?
A lot. It's been a really impressive season, an impressive run here. You're right. The Ravens win, the Steelers win, both really big. Two of their quality wins this year. You start with their defense. They have the number one defense in the league. And it's funny because you looked at the Eagles before the season and you probably thought, okay, if Vic Fangio can get their defense to play average football, they can have an elite offense with all those skilled players and that offensive line, and that'll be what the formula is, but it hasn't been that way. I mean, the defense has been fantastic since that early bye week. They're just really good, and they're doing it without a ton of superstars. They have some guys who will be Pro Bowlers like Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, the linebacker, but it's been a surprise how good they are and how quick they got that good. They're relying on a lot of young players, and they've been fantastic. And then on offense, I mean, the formula for most of this win streak has been run the football. You have Saquon Barkley. Don't overcomplicate things. And then there were some questions after they won a close game against the Panthers, like can they pass the ball? And then last week against the Steelers, they showed that they can. So they're a good team, and they're a pretty complete team right now.
Dude, they really are. Specifically defensively, that front seven has emerged. You had a lot of young players, a lot of new players kind of figuring things out, and it is transformed now. I mean, Carter, Smith, you talked about Bond. I think Dean's playing really well. Just how good is that group?
Yeah, I mean, start with the linebackers. Zach Bond has been playing at like an all-pro level this year for a guy who wasn't a starter before this year. When they signed him, everyone kind of thought he's going to be like a situational edge rusher, a guy you kind of put out there on third downs and let him rush the passer, and he's been an every down player for them, and he's been unbelievable. So the whole coaching staff deserves a lot of credit. He deserves credit for that. N'Kobe Dean, someone who really didn't get to play very much in his first 2 years, he basically had a redshirt year in 22. In 23, he was supposed to be the starting middle linebacker, and he had foot injuries, missed most of the season. So he's been their green dot in the middle of that defense, kind of getting everyone lined up. He's been great. And then up front, Jalen Carter's the star of the show. He's playing at a really high level, kind of an all-pro level. He has the ability to take over games. But they don't have that, like, premier edge rusher. And a lot of people, including myself, wondered if that was going to be an issue. And it hasn't been. They've just been really good rushing together. They actually they got back from their bye week. They had a week 5 bye. Since that bye week, they lead the NFL in sacks with 33. And that's without having a guy who's going to be like a 15-sack guy. Josh Sweat leads them right now with 8, and it's just been like a combined group effort after that, which kind of makes it more impressive.
The back end of that defense, you talked about some young players a little bit earlier. Quinyon Mitchell was spectacular against Washington the first time they matched up. How's he been looking as he continues to go on in his rookie season? But the other guy, too, Cooper DeJean, it feels like DeJean started the year a little bit slow, wasn't as involved. He's been really good lately. Everybody's talking about him outside of maybe the matchup against the Panthers. Adam Thielen ate his lunch a little bit. But what's been so impressive about those two rookies as the year has gone on?
Yeah, Quinyon's been an every-down player for them since week one, just a starting outside corner. And he had been playing really well until that Washington game. But that was on prime time. That was kind of a good chance for the rest of the country to see how good he's been. And he showed out in that game. He was obviously really good against Terry McLaurin. But he's done that pretty consistently throughout this year. I don't know if he has the stats to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he might be the favorite now. But he's playing at that level. I mean, he's been kind of a shutdown guy for them on a team with multiple Pro Bowler and Darius Slay. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell's been their best corner this year. And then Cooper DeJean, he was hurt in training camp a little bit, had a hamstring injury. He missed a lot of the summer. I think there was a good chance he would have been their starting nickel from day one without that injury, but because of it, they kind of slow played it. After that week five bye, he's been in the lineup, and he's been really good. And it's funny because, Adam Thielen, like, got him a little bit, but even in that game, it wasn't like he got roasted. It was just he set such a high standard this year that he gave up a few catches, and we're like, oh, the sky is falling here. But, he's been really excellent. He's added a level of physicality to that defense, which you wouldn't really assume from a nickel corner, but he plays that position with toughness. He's really good at getting around, like, garbage and traffic in front of him and making plays. So, he's been excellent as well.
Talking with our boy Dave Zangaro here from NBC Sports Philly. You can follow him at DZangaro NBCS. That's DZangaro NBCS. If you want to, make sure you check out the Eagle Eye podcast with Dave and our guy Ruben Frank. Davey has an article up on some key matchups for Eagles Commanders and specifically Terry McLaurin and Quinyon Mitchell. I have more of like – I'm a believer in – every week in the NFL is its own entity, and trying to read too much from last week into the following week is difficult. Now, it's a little different when you've won 10 in a row, and you at least defensively seem to be getting better. Like, not necessarily up and down, just better. But, dude, Davey, 2 weeks ago they had a one-score game against the Panthers where if a rookie wide receiver holds onto the ball, that thing's probably going to OT. Who's that Eagles team? Because that's not the same team that showed up against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you're right. I will give the Panthers credit. They actually played well in that game, and they've been in some close games this year. And sometimes you forget that, like, and I know it's such an NFL cliche, but, like, they're professional players. Like, they can make some plays, and they did in that game. Bryce Young was really good, and their defense made some plays. I think the Eagles' problem in that game, aside from their defense not being as stout as we're used to, is that their passing offense was really bad. And it was something that, you know, they won that game, and in the locker room, it kind of didn't feel like it when you talk to some of the offensive players. There was some clear frustration from guys like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson about the passing offense because it was a moment where, you know, they'd been running the football so well during the games before that. And obviously you lean on it if it's working, but they knew there would be a game where they had to pass the ball to win, and that game came up and they weren't able to do it at a high level, and there was some definite frustration. So last week was a really key week for them because they had to figure out some stuff, and as the players have said, they had to have some like tough conversations with each other and get through it and get better, and the Steelers game was kind of a proof of concept game for them because the Steelers kind of sold out to try to stop the run, which is what teams are going to do when you run it as effectively as they have, and they were able to take advantage of it through the air. And there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do that. They have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, one of the best offensive lines in football, and if teams are going to like load the box and make sure that they don't run the ball on them, they have to be able to pass it. That's kind of the way this is structured, that if a team wants to take away one element, you have the other to fall back on, and they were able to do that against Pittsburgh.
What's the difference this year? Last year we saw this team start really well and then kind of fall off a cliff. This year, you know, they've been on a roll lately, but then you saw a little bit of strife with A.J. Brown, and then Brandon Graham kind of adds into it, Jalen Hurts, all that stuff. What's allowed them to overcome some of that stuff this year that kind of hampered them last year?
Yeah, it's funny. Last year, at one point, they were 10-1, but it felt like the whole thing was being held together by duct tape. A lot of the wins just were ugly wins, and that's why that Panthers game felt a little bit like a 2023 win, where like you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it like, hey, we won a game. It's hard to win in this league. We found a way. Or you can say, yeah, we won, but there's a lot to improve on, and we need to fix it. And after the Panthers game, they looked at it and said, yeah, like we won this game, but that's not our standard. Like, we want to enjoy the win, but, man, like they didn't play up to their standard. And they knew that, and they were able to correct it. Just in terms of, like, some guys aren't vibes guys. I look at the vibes in the locker room. They've been much better this year. The team seems to be connecting more. They're having fun winning football games, which sounds really basic, but it wasn't the case last year. It was, I think they had so much pressure on themselves after the loss in the Super Bowl to kind of be perfect. And when things weren't, it started to unravel. That hasn't been the case this year. I think this year feels a lot more like 22 than 23.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. As somebody that's been in a lot of losing locker rooms, being a vibes detective is a vital part to being a good reporter in the NFL, honestly, because you could just, like, you could tell. One thing that I don't think a lot of fans realize is at times the offense and the defense just hate each other. Like, if one side's okay and the other side's terrible, it impacts how guys' next contract's going to look, and if they hit certain clauses in their current deals. Like, there's a lot of real stuff that goes on. And when the vibes are high, it's way more fun. You know, with Sirianni, dude, it seems like it's a wild ride. It seems like Big Dom is of vital importance. But at the same time, I don't know that anybody would really dispute this. The Eagles 1-53 has got to be the best in football. And it's probably by a fairly decent margin. Now, I'm not saying they have the best players in football. Like if you're only measuring 1-4 of every team, that's probably Kansas City. But 1-53, that's Philly. Is the talent just so much that it's kind of unscrew-upable?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
No, I think they had a lot of talent last year, and they screwed that up pretty well. So, it's tough because you look at Sirianni and the question always is, like, how much is he actually doing? Like, how much is he helping this team win, or is it just a product of really good players? And, like, obviously the really good players help, but Phil Jackson was a good coach, right? Like, he had a lot of talent, and he made it work. And I think there's an art to making it work when you have a lot of talent, when you have a lot of high-profile players. And it hasn't always been perfect, and I think certainly if you're going to give him credit for the vibes and the feeling around this team, you have to kind of give him, you look at last year and take your shots at him for that, because that was certainly on him, or at least a lot of it was. But yeah, this year he's managed that locker room really well. When there were some signs of dissension last week, I thought he did a really good job. I thought the other leaders of that team did a really good job of making sure it didn't unravel on them. So he deserves credit. I understand that when you have a coach who's not running the defense or running the offense, it's hard to figure out exactly what he's doing. Man, I don't know. The results are there. It's whatever they're doing is working. So and I don't necessarily think he cares how much credit he's getting for it.
Looking at this passing offense, the numbers not, you know, eye-popping because they just haven't passed it as much. They've run the ball a ton, more than anybody else in the league. Is it something that if you can stop the run that you can really feel like you got a shot against this team, or is Jalen Hurts in this passing game good enough that they can go win a game by themselves?
Yeah, I think that was the big question last week going into that Steelers game. What happens when a team really sells out to stop the run? Can Jalen throw the ball downfield? And I think in that game, at least, he proved that he can. And there's no reason, like I mentioned, that he can't. I mean, you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. That's a really good start. When the playoffs come around, they expect to have Dallas Goedert back from injury. And then that offensive line is maybe the best in football. So no reason to think they can't throw the ball. The one thing Jalen Hurts deserves credit for is he's really cut down the turnovers. Early in the season, it was a big problem, and they were kind of a throw-first team. He was making a lot of mistakes. He had 7 turnovers in the first 4 games. He has 3 since. So he's just playing really efficient football, and there has been the question, like, is he playing too conservative at times when they need him to throw the ball downfield and be aggressive? And I think that's just like a really hard balance to strike perfectly all the time. But there's no question that him protecting the football has really helped them during this win streak.
I mean, he's been really good. It's fascinating to watch it unfold up there, because I read, I don't know who was saying this, but it was basically like, yeah, you know, the Eagles are kind of fighting and bickering, but it's kind of reflective of a city that's a fairly combative bunch, and maybe that just kind of works there. And we had Ike Reese on the show yesterday, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, in this city, the second there's a topic, we're going to seize on it. And then, you know, the players have to push back on it. You've covered them all. You covered that team that actually won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles in Minnesota. You and I were standing in line for a roller coaster when the Alex Smith trade went down, and Brian and I had to go work for 3 hours, and we maybe had a few drinks already.
Just maybe.
And the Eagles win that Super Bowl. You and I were there when they lost to KC a couple years ago. Does this feel like one of the Super Bowl teams? We're late in the year, man. You get a real read on this.
Yeah, it does. It's obviously, you start with the talent on the team. It's a really talented roster, like you mentioned, but they're coming together. That defense, at a certain point, they just are what they are, and they're a really good defense. I think early in the year you're wondering, is there some mirage here? Are they not really this good? But they've done it now for as long as they've done it. I think they are that good. And then on offense, I think there were some questions about the passing offense, but, I mean, the talent there has to win out, right? You look at that offensive line, those receivers, the quarterback, the running back, the tight end when he comes back. It's a talented roster. And like I mentioned, if we're being the vibes detective, as you called it, the vibes are good. It feels the way it's supposed to feel. Now, obviously, in the NFC, we'll see how it shakes out. I do think, you know, home field advantage is important. That one seed is, it's a big deal. Both of the times they've gone to the Super Bowl, they've gone, that I've covered the team, they've gone as the one seed. So I don't want to understate that. And they still have a chance to get that, but they also have a chance to go 15-2 and not get the one seed. I also think that Lions offense will not travel as well. So if you're asking me the NFC Championship game, is it in Detroit or is it in Philly? I think there's a really big difference there. So a little bit of that is now out of their control, but as far as the team itself, I think they're the best team in the NFC right now.
You given any shot that Saquon wins the MVP?
I think it's unlikely. If he needs about 140 yards per game over the last 3 to break Eric Dickerson's record, if he does that, I think maybe he'll get some votes. But Typically, the way I look at it is, like, if you don't have, if you're going to have a non-quarterback win it, it has to be a spectacular year from a non-quarterback, but also there has to be, like, not a clear-cut answer at the quarterback position for MVP. The problem with this year is that I think there's a pretty clear-cut answer at quarterback. It's Josh Allen. So, you know, we'll see how the last few games play out. I think Saquon will probably finish second in MVP voting. I think he deserves some votes, but I understand why it's probably going to go to Josh Allen.
Man, I think if it goes to Allen, he's been fantastic, but it's just people have Lamar fatigue because Lamar's numbers are just outrageous. I mean, he's got 35 passing touchdowns against three picks.
Yeah, he's been great.
Davey, let me ask you this last thing. So the Week 11 game was tight to the end, right? It was tight till about 10 minutes left, and then Saquon's able to break two. I think the second one is more of just a mental flub by Washington. The first one more legitimate. Washington's offense wasn't great that day, and they're now without Austin Ekeler, Noah Brown, and likely Zach Ertz. But defensively, dude, you're able to add Marshon Lattimore, who completely shut down half of the field last week in New Orleans. And dude, you might get John Allen back. I don't know if he's coming back this week, but he sure looks like he's coming back in these next couple games. What's a bigger deal, that they've lost some firepower offensively or that they are significantly better defensively?
I think that defensively, because even though they lost firepower offensively, you can probably answer this better than me. Jaden Daniels looks a little healthier these days than he did in Week 11. He just didn't look like himself in that first matchup. So if he's – obviously, maybe that balances out without the skill guys on offense, especially Ekeler. He killed the Eagles in that first matchup. I think he had like 8 catches for like 70 yards or something like that. So that was a problem
for
them. 8 for 89. Wow, yeah. So I know he killed them in that first matchup. So maybe that kind of balances out. Defensively, Lattimore's been really good against the Eagles. And the Eagles played him earlier this year in New Orleans, and they didn't have A.J. Brown in that game, but Lattimore did a good job when he lined up against Devontae Smith. And then in 22, they faced him, and he did a really nice job against A.J. Brown. So I think that does help them. I like Fenner still a lot. He's been a really fun player to watch. So I think they're better defensively. So I'd probably say that.
All right, Dave. We appreciate you, bud. I'll see you Sunday.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's our guy, Dave Zangaro. Give him a follow at DZangaro, NBCS. When we come back, there's a really, really cool high school football and basketball tournament this weekend that I want to make sure is on everybody's radar. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.